This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Hey guys, quick thing. The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only question left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mikel Arteta faces the press today in order to give us all the information that we need about Arsenal's latest team news ahead of the match against Luton Town. Meanwhile, of course, there is still transfer news to discuss with yet another striker for us to talk about. This is the Arsenal News Show. Hello and welcome to the Gooner Talk, back again with you guys for another episode of what is the Arsenal News Show, joining you every morning at 8 a.m. UK time. Thank you as always for joining me and making this part of your morning routines. It's incredibly appreciated. I hope you've had a good start to your week. Yesterday on Monday, we're hopefully looking back at the table and looking at our very advantageous position as we enter the final 9 games of the season. But as will be the case for the next fair few weeks, I'm going to be talking about the last game and very swiftly moving on to the next one, because it is only tomorrow that we have to wait for until Arsenal are back in action once again at the Emirates against Luton Town, with an opportunity, of course, to go back to the top of the table with both of Manchester City and Liverpool not playing until Thursday. So Arsenal have the chance to put the pressure on, and hopefully that isn't exactly what they will do. Good morning to those joining us live. Thank you so much, as always, for doing so. Let's say hello to people in the chat box, shall we? Glenn, Blackshine, Steve, Robert, Ansa. Good morning to Arsenal Adventure and Dominic and Blackshine, Shiv, Roy, Damien, Barry T, Dominic, Matt G, Amira, Runs with Cows, Rowan, James, Jackie, Stephen. We've got Shari and Norfolk and Louis and Carl and Adegoke. We've got Stevie, Temi, Tabani, Peter, Emeka, Robert. Thank you so much for people tuning in. It is absolutely fantastic to see so many of you in the chat box as always. I think I saw Nonzo as well, who is a first timer in the chat, which is absolutely fantastic. So thank you ever so much for joining us for the first time. If it is your first time, please make sure you're subscribed to the channel and, of course, helping us to complete our 1K everyday like challenge. This continues to be the most startling and stunning community of Arsenal fans around, and we continue to force ourselves forwards with this planned charge towards the end of the season, which, who knows, could go further. But just being able to be part of it is an amazing thing. So thank you for that. All of you, yesterday evening, I was sitting down with Alex on the Different Knock to talk about the Arsenal job that was pulled off at Manchester City that has annoyed untold numbers of people. And I'll give you a good example of how easily it has annoyed a lot of people. Yesterday, in discussions around this, I think it was the morning show, actually, we were talking about the approach that Arsenal took in the game that I absolutely think people have misinterpreted, because for me, Arsenal went with a plan and Manchester City's quality shone through and Arsenal had to adapt to that plan. Me and Alex from the Different Knock talked about that last night. And I was curious because Liverpool, of course, are a side that are often really looked at as a team that can, I suppose, attack every team. They play only one way. They only really know how to play one way. They don't necessarily adapt to other sides. They just play their style and they're, you know, credited for that quite often. Now, the way in which Liverpool were talked about in the wake of yesterday or Sunday evening's game was the fact that they were praised for always playing a certain way and going to Liverpool, going to Man City rather, with some kind of ambition of playing the way they want to get a result. Now, in all of the years that Jurgen Klopp has been manager and all of the years that Pep Guardiola has been manager at Manchester City, Liverpool have never won against Pep City in the league at the Etihad. And so I couldn't get my head around, and I didn't know, for instance, how long it had been for initially. And so I tweeted saying, is it true Liverpool haven't won at Man City in the league for 7 years? Now, it was quickly pointed out to me by some other people. It turns out it's not 7 years. It's 9 years. It turns out it's 9 years that Liverpool have never won in the league at the Etihad, whilst Pep Guardiola, of course, is manager. And the reason why I tweeted that was just kind of initially to get the information. Secondly, to kind of point out that for all this furore about Liverpool's approach to games at the Etihad, they've never won there. They've never done anything that Arsenal haven't done in the league at the Etihad under Arteta. And in fact, I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying that Arsenal's result yesterday was arguably more impressive because, of course, they've managed to keep a clean sheet. They created the best chances in the game and were very, very close to winning as well. So why Arsenal's approach was criticised, despite the fact that Liverpool's has never succeeded in the league whatsoever, I found odd. And so to give you a bit of an insight into how that reality has annoyed so many people, the tweet that I just put out when I said, is it true Liverpool haven't won in the Man City in 7 years? That tweet has been viewed by 410,000 people. 410,000 people. And it is full of salty Liverpool fans in the replies that I could not quite believe. I didn't realise how sensitive they were. You know, this is a team that has won Champions Leagues and Premier Leagues, more Premier Leagues, I think, than any other team. I'm pretty sure they're still leading Manchester United in terms of that. They've won more Champions Leagues than, I think, any other English side. And they are so sensitive. I could not get my head around how easily offended they were by me asking a question just to get some context around the argument of, well, Liverpool goes there and try and win every game, but don't in the league whatsoever. So, yeah, rather stunning. Arsenal do seem to get under the skin of people, particularly Liverpool fans, it seems, very easily. If Arsenal do end up going to win the league, of which they've been third favourites the entire time that we have been in this position of being the underdogs all the way through, if Arsenal do win the league, my goodness me, it'll be like a Homer Simpson meme is what it will be. It's going to be a lot of fun. So let's keep those fingers crossed it turns out to be the case. But please make sure you go and watch that episode with Alex. We talked about that. We talked about Arsenal's future actually quite a lot. And the next 5 years we ended up talking about. So it was a really good conversation. And a lot of really kind comments have been left on that video. So thank you. Now we're going to go straight into transfer stories. And the Mail's Craig Hope has suggested that Arsenal are indeed looking at Alexander Isak, who is attracting attention from plenty of clubs. It is said that Newcastle's profit and sustainability situation means that, of course, they've already talked about being open to selling any potential star if indeed they get the right price for the player. And that availability could prompt Arsenal to move for the Swedish international striker. He is a Premier League ready player, of course, but does have his injury woes and has had some issues with injuries whilst with Newcastle. But he's definitely up there amongst the strikers that I think Arsenal would be very well minded to consider. Of course, we've got other players like Gyökeres being intrigued by Arsenal as well, and a number of other centre forwards too. But it seems Isak could be amongst one of the top options at the club going forwards. When I wrote my piece last week about Gyökeres and the interest at Arsenal, I can confirm to you definitely having the player. We talked about how I'd been told that Arsenal are looking toward the younger end of the platform. Now, again, there's a difference between the word younger and young. People turn around to me and say, well, Gyökeres at 25 isn't young anymore. But the point is they're not looking at the older age end of strikers like your Ivan Tonys of the world. And they're going for the 26 and belows, I think would be a better categorization of saying younger strikers. Isak, of course, is far younger than that and still in his early to mid-20s. And so has the potential to be even better and to unlock a different part of his game if he wanted to. But he's a very good forward. A very good finisher, very agile, very quick and very technically gifted, and certainly would be up there amongst one of the centre forwards I'd like to see Arsenal bring to the club in the near future. But it would be, I'd imagine, very expensive to get the deal done. Now, of course, Premier League action, as I mentioned, and hinted towards returns for Arsenal tomorrow, but there is indeed Premier League action tonight, which means we need to round up the week's fixtures. Newcastle will be taking on Everton at 7:30 this evening. Nottingham Forest will host Fulham. Bournemouth at 7:45 playing Crystal Palace at the same time as Burnley against Wolves. And then at the late time of 8:15, which I suppose makes more sense because these are two London clubs, West Ham will host Spurs, two of the biggest bottlers that there are around in terms of results. Spurs dropping points like crazy in ridiculous games. West Ham 3-1 up against Newcastle and still somehow losing 4-3 on the day at the weekend. So both those teams could turn out to have quite the entertaining game as well. Wednesday, of course, we'll see Arsenal against Luton at 7:30. A very good time for a game, for an evening match. I quite like these 7:30 kickoffs. They suit me and my schedule much better of trying to get back from these games. Brentford, of course, at the same time taking on Brighton. And then later than Arsenal, which of course gives Arsenal the chance of taking on and going back to the top of the table, at least for a short period of time, Manchester City will be taking on Aston Villa. Then the Thursday games, we've got Liverpool at 7:30 against Sheffield United and Chelsea hosting Manchester United at 8:15. It is nice, isn't it, to look at those games between two what you'd describe on paper at least as big sides in Chelsea and United. Look at that as an entertaining game and think this has absolutely no bearing on Arsenal's potential title battle. So it's quite nice to watch those games, I think, these days. It's like when Spurs play United or Spurs play Chelsea or, you know, some of these other teams get involved in games where we don't have to worry about that because we are running a very different race indeed. And so Villa, we're hoping Arsenal can do a favour at the weekend, of course, because I do not hold out any hope at all for Sheffield United against Liverpool whatsoever. But Liverpool at the weekend, of course, have got a bit of a tougher test. And so hopefully that can, against Manchester United, that is, and hopefully that can go Arsenal's way. In terms of Arsenal's April calendar, because we're in a brand new month, I can run you through the seven and eight. It's eight. I thought it was seven, but no, it's eight. The eight games that Arsenal will play in the month of April. Of course, Wednesday we play Luton Town. At the weekend, we play Brighton and Hove Albion away from home. Then kicks off the quarterfinals of the Champions League as we play Bayern Munich on the Tuesday. We have Aston Villa at the weekend, sandwiching those two Bayern games. The away fixture is on the following Wednesday. We then come back home and go straight to Molineux to play Wolves before hosting Chelsea in our rescheduled fixture at the Emirates in the following midweek before the month ends with the North London Derby in the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Big month, big games, title-defining, Champions League-defining, season-defining month for Arsenal. And lastly, we need to talk about the fact that today Mikel Arteta will face the press this morning. It is 11 o'clock. If you'd like to get updates on the press conference, of course, I'll be running with Kai Karnak the Football.London press conference live blog. So you'll be able to find all of the quotes on the Football.London website soon afterwards, but you'll be able to get some of the quotes live and updated to you as he conducts the presser. We're expecting to get some team news information on the likes of Bukayo Saka, who of course came off against City with fatigue, where Gabriel Martinelli is at in terms of whether or not he can start. And hopefully I'm really keen to get some information on the situation regarding Jurrien Timber. That is a situation that I very much would like to try and sort out. So I look forward to it and hope that Arteta gives us the answers that we need, because we do need some answers. Right, let's go to part two and your questions right after this. Okay, we're going to jump into the chat and get some of your thoughts on anything we've discussed today and potentially more as well. We've just one day left. Of course, tonight I'm going to attempt to, at least hope to, get some of you on for a preview show. So if you're in our Discord server, if you support the channel through our membership scheme and are in our Discord server, I'll be reaching out to you to come on this evening, probably at 5-6 o'clock UK time, and hope at least that we can see some people talk about tonight's or tomorrow's game against Luton. So I look forward to that and look out for those messages. The Guna Factory says, Tom, I've noticed a changing of people's opinions on Gabriel Jesus, with many people attacking his ability. Not sure if you've had the same. I really don't understand. I think he has a lot to offer. I think where this comes from is the idea that Arsenal need a top centre forward. And I think from that perspective, we need to look at the scale of where Jesus is compared to the scale of where another top striker is, you know? And I think from that, what we need to look at is Jesus is kind of the level below world-class players, just below. I think there was a time I thought he was in the bracket, and the more I've come to watch him, I think we're now in a bracket where he's probably just below it. I don't think we can suggest that he is in the same bracket as your top centre forwards. I used to think that there was a chance that he could be, but I don't think we can say that he's in that top. He's got the ability, but he rarely executes it on a consistent enough basis. And so because he's not in that bracket, very often what happens is he gets compared to those players. And because he's not, you know, because he's not of that level, it starts to get a little bit critical quite quickly because we don't have a Haaland. You know, we don't have an Mbappe. We don't have these top Lewandowski, Kane levels of centre forwards at the moment. And to be honest, I don't see Arsenal going out into the market and signing a player that fits that mould, that fits that bracket. I just don't see that happening because I don't think there is a player on that market. And I think for that reason, and for that reason alone, you're going to see people criticise Jesus perhaps more than you'd see another player criticise. But in the market, I think we're going to struggle to add the player that they're desperate to see us add. We might add a better striker, but it's no guarantee. There's not a single guarantee. Did I see a lot of criticisms of Jesus? I mean, he didn't have an amazing game. His finishing was lacking. And I think going forwards, what we need to see is, you know, him be more consistent with his finishing. But he still contributed plenty. Tactically, it was an interesting choice. And I actually talked about this with Alex on yesterday's show. Sasha says, I agree. I think Jesus has good technical ability, but he was probably our worst player on the pitch. Kivior and Saka were bad. Kivior was bad. I don't know what game you watched, Sasha, if you're the Kivior was bad. Kivior was very consistent. Saka, I'll absolutely, you know, got no issue with that. He wasn't fully fit, you know, and was having a bit of a mare at times, but he had to start the game. Kivior had a mare or was bad. I don't agree with that. I thought Kivior had a good game. And again, I talked about that with Alex yesterday. Gage says, it seems like Arteta sets his focus on transfer targets for extended periods of time. I remember being linked to him at Sociedad. Do you think there is any truth in that? I think the Isak striker link is there and has been there for quite some time. I think we can all certainly believe that we're going to be there for a period. And I think for that reason, we are going to see something like Isak get linked constantly. You're going to see the transfer links grow continuously. And because of that, we're going to find ourselves in a position where we're going to be, swimming through links, swimming through striker after striker, eventually until we find the one that turns out to be the number one target. Because there are a lot of players that Arsenal are being linked to because we are interested in a lot of players. It's the reality. We're looking at a lot of them. We're interested in a lot of them. So,
hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. And the same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with Mook Delivery. Are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Until one emerges as the clear front runner, it's, you know, it's as simple as that in terms of trying to wait it out for when that striker target emerges. Let's go to Jesus and Isak. Do two halves make a whole? I don't know. I don't think you can have both. Maybe you could have both, to be fair, but I think you need at least one forward to leave. Daniel says, I think Kivior definitely needs a bit of a rest. Lots of minutes for Poland and then looked a bit leggy. Look, I'd absolutely accept the fact that I think he was leggy. And Sasha says, Kivior being bad is an exaggeration, but he was far from his best. And I think that's fine. You know, I think it's important to be careful with your words. You know, it's important to be careful in how you describe players. Saying somebody's bad when they've not been bad is not a fair reflection. Saying they're not their best, absolutely fair. I think that's completely fair as an assumption or as a suggestion as to what and what we can expect from Kivior. Paul says, Jesus and Tommy on the right for me against Luton. Give Benny Blanco a rest ahead of the Champions League. Tommy did a good job at right back before the injury. For me, my back four tomorrow would be, and goalkeeper, Raya, White, Saliba, Tommy, Zinchenko is what I would go for as my back four. Give Gabriel a rest. Of course, he pulled out the game against for Brazil. He's carrying a little something, can absolutely rotate him. Kivior, give him a midweek rest, bring him back in for the game against Brighton, bring Zinchenko in. Into midfield, Partey, Rice, Odegaard would be my midfield three. And then up top, I'm looking at probably Jesus on the right, Havertz up top. And if Martinelli's fit to start, Martinelli, if not, Trossard, of course, as well. Alex says, Kivior being played in a less than favourable position, gave the ball away a few times, but was part of a back four that stopped City from scoring at home. Exactly. I mean, that in itself is a level that you need to discuss. Josh says, hi, Tom. Unrelated to Arsenal, but what did you think about Man United having a new technical director being the ex-youth director for Man City? I mean, Man United are making some rather sensible decisions regarding their backroom staff and the people that are in those higher up positions. Whether that means that they'll get rid of Erik ten Hag or not, we'll have to wait to see. But they're making some very sensible choices behind the scenes, Josh. So we're going to have to be aware of that. And we're going to have to be wary of what they do in the future, because they could be onto some good things, which is not what we want to see as Arsenal fans. But they are making some very, you know, they're making some very interesting suggestions. Dennis says, I've seen people berate Raya, like, what was he supposed to do? Score? Exactly. I don't really know what Raya could have done more than he did. He was told to kick the ball long. He was told to play the balls into those areas. Yes, his execution was in question a couple of times where he played those balls out, but he was being told to do that. It's not his strongest point, his long distribution. He's not that type of goalkeeper typically, but for that game Arteta told him to do that. So I find it hard to start heavily pointing the finger at Raya for the distribution, because he was being told to do it when that's not his strength. So I think that's worth bearing in mind when we go and play Luton tomorrow. He's going to be playing the short passes. He's going to be playing short. He's going to be playing calm. We're going to see the Raya that we know we've come to see for the majority of 2024. So I've not got any issues with it at the moment. Martin says, Luton's biggest threat is aerial, so we need our best available aerial defenders. I mean, I see what you're saying, but Tomiyasu is good in the air. Saliba we know is, White we know is, Partey and Rice are going to form plenty of give us plenty of height as well. Havertz, of course, is in the box for plenty of those set pieces too. So we've got a tall team, even if we change out Gabriel and Kivior from the side. Ian says, Odegaard's passing was so disappointing. We needed his passing. He got into position in between the lines, and considering what he said, his legs are being heavy. Can we play Vieira or Smith Rowe? I don't know. I don't know about Odegaard's heavy legs, if they require of the big quicker. There was a moment where he passed through to Havertz, and it was near sublime, the pass he played through to Havertz. I wouldn't say it was so disappointing. Below par, maybe, but it was a high-pressure game, and obviously we weren't really in the positions that he typically finds himself in when he's doing his best work. But there was a moment where he nearly found Havertz with what would have been one of the passes of the season, just slightly overhit it. But Odegaard will be back with a vengeance, as John says here in the chat box. Gary says, I disagree with resting Saka. He just had 10 days off during the internationals. I don't think we can afford to be resting players now. It's the running we need to go. Gary, I need to make this very clear. Saka had one training session before the game against Man City. He wasn't training. It's not a case of he had 10 days off because of the international break. He was going through recovery. And all the time you're going through recovery and you can't train, your fitness, your stamina is being affected by that. So he wasn't rested. He didn't have 10 days off. He wasn't able to train. Players need to train. Players, resting actually happens through training at times, because you're keeping your muscles active, you're keeping them in a position where they're not deteriorating and your fitness isn't deteriorating. So when you go and have one training session, if that, before the game against City, you're not going to be fully fit. So Saka is fatigued because he's not yet fully ready. He'll hopefully would have trained this week. We keep fingers crossed that he has trained, but he's not been able to rest. Not been able to rest at all because of the injury situation that he's been dealing with. It's really important to, you know, to categorize things as whether a player is being rested, whether a player is injured, and through that injury is obviously losing some of your stamina and making you more open to fatigue. So he's not just had a big rest, and we can afford to rest him if we can bring Jesus into that right wing spot. Alex says, how many would be a safe number of rotation players to play against Luton? I think four is a good number. As I said, two defenders, one midfielder, one forward, I think is probably what I'd be aiming to do. from the game against City. I think four would be an okay number of players. John says, I'm excited to see a midfield of Partey, Rice and Odegaard. Me too. Dave says, indeed, Saka is one of the players we don't have a close replacement for and absolutely is one of those players in the summer that we should be looking to go and sign a winger for. Granddaddy Guna says, I've liked Jesus before he was at Arsenal. If he doesn't get called up in the summer, he will get the time he needs and will be devastating next season. Carl says, Gabriel Jesus did a great job at right wing at home against City. Let's give him some game time there. Could be beneficial for the tough run that we have in front of us. And I think that he did well against City when you rightly point out he played there in the first leg. I think playing him at right wing against Luton is fine and we can absolutely do that without too much of an issue. Ondavoli says, it's time to bring Nelson in. I'm not sure it's time to bring Nelson in. I don't think he gets into a front three with Jesus, Havertz and Trossard or Martinelli quite yet, but he should be back on the bench potentially for the weekend if indeed we have space for him, which we might not have space. That's the reality of the squad right now, is we've got barely any injuries, really. We've got some fitness concerns, but we don't really have any injuries. So that's something we need to think about. Nathan says, I remember when Mbappe was linked to us, how I prayed for it not to happen, even though it wasn't very realistic. He's absolutely talented, but boy, he is bad for a team and PSG will benefit from losing him. We'll wait and see if they do. I mean, losing a player that scores you 40 to 50 goals a season across all competitions, is that good? I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see. Arsenal Avenge says Jesus needs to play right wing against Luton. And if he stays next season, he needs to accept that right wing position. He may not have a choice but to accept that wing position. That might be the area he absolutely has to accept as a position in the squad, because centre forward may be completely taken up by a new signing. And even then, we might even sign a winger in the summer. So it could make it even more tricky for Jesus to get more game time. Pharaoh says, who scores 40 to 50 goals a season? Mbappe. Right? Mbappe will get you 40 to 50 goals across all competitions in a season. Daniel says, Nelson and Nketiah, Vieira and Smith Rowe are so far away from the first team now that I can't see them starting a Premier League game, even when it's rotation central. Again, and I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, Daniel. I think it just shows you how this squad has grown, how this squad has improved, how Arteta has got the best from so many of the players in his squad. We renewed the contracts with the likes of Nketiah and Nelson because obviously we weren't going to be able to sign players in those positions because of profit and sustainability regulations. And it is also going to give us the ability to sell those players and make pure profit on those players when they eventually do move on, which again will be very beneficial for us in the market so we can reinvest that money. Don't take any notice of the critics that are suggesting it was the wrong decision to do that, because A, they aren't aware of the profit sustainability regulations as well as we do. And secondly, we needed to make sure that we had enough depth in the squad. So if there was an injury crisis, we had players there, we couldn't afford them to leave on absolutely nothing. And so therefore we've renewed those deals and we're going to get pure profit to help us spend and invest more on even better players in the future. Arsenal Mickey says, Arsenal cannot be tactically bullied by any team, and that's something Arteta has done with this side. Arteta brings a certain refinement to the tactics, emotions by both Pep and Klopp, and the growth continues. Gage says, if you were on penalties and played a full season in our current squad, how many goals do you think you could score? Interesting question. I don't know. How many penalties could I score at the Emirates? Well, I have taken one.
Come on, Tomo.
Who'd have thought the Gunner Talk video at the Emirates had a penalty with the chance to embarrass Charlie's earlier effort in the papers? Let's have a look.
Ooh. Yeah, I'd give myself five. Surely. Five? Must be five. I'll go with five. Five penalties is what I'll go with. Haaland guys and Vieira will still have a role to play. We smash four past Luton. I would rather they came on than some others that would benefit from less minutes. I think that Vieira is somebody, obviously, we've invested £34 million in. And do we see him leaving in the summer? I'm not sure. Whereas I see Nelson and Nketiah and Smith Rowe being more marketable in the summer. And so because of that, I think there is a bigger chance that we might see them move on than Vieira. And I think there's something to be said that Arteta, I think, still sees something in Vieira that he wants to get hit for. Look, guys, I don't care that there wasn't a goalkeeper in net. I don't care. We couldn't get a goalkeeper to stand. They were too scared. Too scared. Goalkeeper, you know, he dived the other way. All I'm saying is he dived the other way. That's what I'm saying. Mecca says, the good thing is that we could rest some players and still have the same qualities on the pitch. Absolutely. Amira says, do you always have that video on standby? To be fair, I've not deleted any of the videos that I've uploaded to StreamYard. So I've got like this big bank of interviews of Arsenal players and that clip as well. So yeah, they've always been there. And it turns out, for good reason as well. Kazang says, I also see you hitting the crossbar in a crossbar challenge. Let's see. That's the one I don't have saved. For some reason, that's not saved. But I did indeed hit the crossbar in a crossbar challenge. I don't know if it's one of the shorts. You can watch the whole day, by the way. I think I uploaded the whole day to YouTube when we played at the Emirates last season, the end of last season. So you can watch. If you just type in the Gooner Talk, Tom at the Emirates, I think it will come up. I'll check that for you. Let me see. Gooner Talk. Tom at the Emirates. Let's see. If I hate talking about myself in the third person. At the Emirates. Here we go. Let's see. Does it come up? No, it does. Oh, hold on. No, it doesn't. I'm going to have to find it. I'm sure I uploaded the entire vlog. I don't know if I called it a vlog. Maybe that will come up if I do that. No, that still doesn't. I'll tell you what. I'll find it and I'll share it on the community tab. But it's somewhere. I just don't know where, or I can't remember what I called it. Someone will find it, I'm sure, but for some reason, it's not coming. It definitely wasn't upload, so it shouldn't be in one of the live videos. Yes, it was called Crossbar Challenge and Seven Aside at Arsenal Emirates Stadium. So if you want to watch the full vlog, there's 9 minutes of play at the Emirates, so you can go and watch it there. I'll put a link to it in the chat box in a second for you. But whilst we're waiting to do that, we'll take some more of your questions. Let's scroll up a little bit more. I thought I saw a comment I needed to read out. Stephen's in the chat. Always great to see Stephen. Says, hi, Tom. Back in hospital at the moment. You lot are keeping my chin up. Stephen, my thoughts and prayers are with you, mate. I hope everything turns out okay and you've got the full power of the Arsenal community, I'm sure, behind you. So get well soon, mate, and it's great to see you well enough to be jumping into the chat box with us as well. So blessings coming your way, son. Let's move to Zungta, who says, we really have a chance of not losing any games until the end of the season, considering that we've nullified City. Yes, it's true that there is a chance that Arsenal could go unbeaten for the final 9 games of the season, but it's important not to get ahead of ourselves, because if we do that, there's always the chance that, you know, you get a bit too arrogant, you start looking too far ahead, and then you drop points when you don't want to. So that's important. I have left that link, by the way, to that video in the video description. Game Shot says, shouldn't we be able to rotate one player at the time from the start instead of subs in the second half? It seems like a lot of people are talking about either resting four at the time or none. I understand what you're saying. I think we need to be able to rotate. Like, I think we should be able to rotate several players, as many as four in the starting lineup. You know, I really do. And then you can manage the minutes of players and bring some other players on that didn't start the game if we need to bring them on. I think that's obviously important to consider. So yeah, just watch out for that. War says, is it weird that I'm more worried about the Luton game than I was the City game? Relegation battling teams can be a problem. Is a bit weird that, yeah, because by far City are a much tougher team than Luton. But every team in the Premier League can cause you problems. So I understand, I empathise where you're coming from, but there is really only one big challenge of those two, and the bigger challenge is City by quite some distance. I think it's because it's the next game. And as Brad Hunn says here, play game by game. You know, that's what we need to do. We need to play game by game. And you can't take things for granted. Anyway, thank you so much, guys, for tuning in. Very much appreciate your time, as always. You've been absolutely brilliant. Do drop a like on the video and subscribe to the channel if you are indeed new around here, with those notifications turned on so you never miss a show. I'll be back with you this evening for a preview of tonight's or tomorrow's game against Luton Town. So please do make sure you tune in for that and catch up and look out in the Discord server for the opportunity to hop on that. But please do have a fantastic Tuesday. Stay safe, stay well, stay happy and respectful. And as always, up the Arsenal.
It's the 90-plus minute. All your mates around, and you've got a McNuggets share box ready to go, and you know a late winner's coming. Your mate's already got booked for a double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfection. Order now on the McDonald's app for your McDelivery. You in? At participating restaurants, 18+, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.